Chime, how do you not rejoin with Smell Yo D? That's what Wiggy wanted.
That doesn't sound appropriate. And Curtis's dumbest of the day was from China Grove, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's Mike Milbury time, and Mike Milbury is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by findmassmoney.gov and by John Sewer, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One hotline, as he will every Thursday during this NHL season. Hey, Mike.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Certain things in the world confuse me, like how some countries are invaded by other countries and the rest of the world protects the country that did the invading. That's confusing to me. It's confusing how this kid who's got moved up to the second line is called Potra, and his name is P-O-I-T-R-A-S. That confuses me.
Well, I will say this. It sounds like Monty may have been listening to you on this program when you suggested that very thing.
Well, I don't know if he listened to me or somebody else, but I'm glad he did it, because this is the opportunity that he needs to provide this guy to see what he's got going forward and whether he's ready or whether he will be ready in the future. And there's no time like now where the holes were created by the retirements of Krejci and Bergeron, and go for it, man. I mean, you only live once.
Well, and I mean, it is early, but is it possible that Don Sweeney has found his first and second line center and then would not have to go out, you know, trade-wise or over the summer and spend a lot of money on one?
It's possible, but I'm not sure that it's likely. I'm going to have a long way to go before I think that Pavel Zacha is a first or second line centerman. I mean, he's a pretty heady guy, but he's got a lot to prove still, and so does Potra. Still confused by that spelling.
Mike, if you're Montgomery, like, how long do you let this experiment go before you kind of make the decision? Is there like a time limit, or is this just something that you have to give him a lot of time or give these young guys a lot of time to see if they are the guys?
I think you need to give them quite a bit of time to make sure you've got the right read on it. But I think it's a funny thing watching young players play. They evolve, and you can just witness it. And then you could just sit back and make an evaluation. But it will take, you know, it'll take some time. He's not going to be used to the pace of the game, the schedule that's so grinding, the travel that's not even, they just went out to the West Coast. They're going to be there for, you know, whatever, a week or so, and then they're going to head back. And all those things factor into how he performs, and how he handles that will be very important to Montgomery and Cam Neely and Don Sweeney and their evaluation of where this thing is going to go. But I think for sure it's going to take, you know, months, not weeks, to make an accurate description. But, you know, sometimes you just have to wait and evaluate on what you see, and the player will determine that. So I guess it's an uncertain timeline, but I'd say longer than sooner.
Speaking of Cam Neely, he compared Charlie McAvoy to Ray Bourque this week, but he did say that he'd like to see him shoot the puck more. You agree?
It's never a bad play to shoot the puck, and McAvoy seems to want to look for different things to do with it, and that's a good thing. Being heads up and seeing the whole version of the ice is always a positive, but you know, what did Gretzky say? It's something like, if 100% of the shots that you don't shoot don't go in.
Yeah.
And so shoot the puck. It's not a bad play. And, you know, I recall in the last game, you know, throwing the puck at the net to Van Riemsdyk and his little tip, little redirection. That's the way it goes. Get it to the net is one of the basic principles of the game, and he doesn't do it enough.
You agree with the Ray Bourque comparison?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I mean, this guy Bourque was 22 years in the league, and practically every year was a first or second team all-star. This guy was a force of nature physically. I mean, he was just incredible to watch, incredible to coach. I mean, it was just too easy for a coach to be behind the bench and say, okay, Ray, you're up, or and just wait for Ray to get a, stand up and go. It was nothing. There was nothing to coaching this guy. And from the very first day, and I think I've mentioned this, the very first practice at training camp, I watched Ray play, and I was just astounded at how good he was, how mature he was. Physically and mentally, he made every right play. I said, oh, my God, this is a special player. This was a Dennis Potvin kind of look-alike and play-alike, and he proved that to be true over the course of a couple of decades.
Mike, with the lines all being moved around, Jim Montgomery said that Charlie Coyle shouldn't take that as a demotion. In your mind, do you think it's a demotion, and do you think in Charlie's mind it is?
I guess I would say that if I were Charlie Coyle, I would be a little disappointed because, and I don't know what the conversations were over the course of the summer, but he probably thought he was going to play with some pretty special players, and he's still going to play with some pretty good players. But on the other hand, I think it maybe hurtful to Charlie a little bit emotionally, but I think it was a mistake on the part of the Bruins to put him there in that position. And they probably put him there because of the lack of apparent alternatives until Potra became available and looked like he was going to be something of an alternative. But you know what? He's one of the best third-line centers in the league, and I would have said that to him over the summer, and I said, you may get pushed to second line, but you're probably going to go back to where you're best suited, and you know, so don't take this emotionally, but you're a player, and you have feelings, and I think he probably thinks it sucks.
It's going to be a decision to make when it comes to Jake DeBrusque. What do you need to see from him this season?
Commitment. Speed, of course, goal scoring, of course, but commitment. Every game, I want him to be visible, not just a once-in-a-while guy. I think if you commit yourself to a team and to a line or to a role on a team, and you become visible, you start to feel a big part of it. He needs to become one of the solid foundation pieces of this team, and this is a really good year to show it.
Mike, when you look at Potra and the challenges of being a center on this team, what's the biggest challenge for him? Is it going to be the defensive side of the ice? Is it going to be, you know, trying to replace a guy that was able to have great chemistry with Brad Marchand and being an offensive presence? What's the biggest challenge that you see for him, especially now that he's up on the playing alongside Marchand?
The defensive side, I think you know this, Wiggy, the defensive side is hard work, dedication, a little bit of intelligence, and, you know, coordination. We talked about this a little bit last week, as I mentioned, John Rattel, coordination with your defenseman. But the art form of the game and the object of the game is to score goals. He has to find ways to feed the puck to his wingers to get them open and in positions where they can shoot and score, and then when he has the puck to shoot and score himself. I mean, that's what a first or second line center does. If he doesn't do that, he's no good. He can't be in that position, and so his focus should be on that. The defense will come. I think it will take some time. You learn some lessons defensively, but it's just, you know, nose to the grindstone kind of stuff, but the offensive stuff is what they're looking for because that's what wins games.
This will probably be Wiggy's lead tomorrow, but there was a report this week that Edmonton inquired about Ullmark over the summer and might do so again now because of their goaltending situation. Would you, if you were Don Sweeney, would you listen there and would you deal one of your goaltenders?
I would deal Ullmark. I think Swayman is the guy to keep, and I think Ullmark is the guy to go. And I think you have too many riches in that department. You don't need it. You could find a couple guys, and you've got some in your organization that could step up and play as a 20-game goaltender. And if you don't, if that guy is not good enough, then you can find somebody else. But Swayman is the future. Swayman has the age and already the maturity. You know, I met him a little bit in the last week or so, and he was really an impressive kid. But if they can get a useful piece for Ullmark, I'm all in. I just don't think they need to have two goaltenders, and if there's a market for a guy like Ullmark, who's proven, at least in the short time that he's been there, that he can be a number one goaltender, and somebody needs one, and they can get a fill-in-the-blank. An up-and-coming centerman would be my first request.
Yeah.
But if that's not it, there's still plenty of other places you can use people and prospects or draft picks. But, yeah, go for it. Pull the trigger as soon as the fruit is ripe.
Sharing that you met him reminds me, what did you think of the Century team, the All-Century team? Was it spot on in your mind?
We were pretty close, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah.
We were pretty close, but, you know, how could we have talked about Bill Cowley or Dick Clapper? And then I actually looked up some of their statistics, and it's very impressive. McClapper was like, he was like a rover. He went from defense to forward and back again. That was a curveball. Well, the only two guys that I thought that were really, you know, I think generated my interest were Rattell and Oates. I mean, I talked to Adam. He was a little, I'm not going to say upset, but I had 140 points when I came here one year. 140 points. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess those are the two guys that I was a little bit, you know, unhappy for. But, you know, you got to give a nod to the past. It's an all-centennial team, not an all-decade team.
Also, I don't know if you were listening, but we just learned on this show that Dit Clapper is what Mrs. Wiggins does when Wiggy gets home after a night out.
That's such a great hockey name, though.
Oh, my God.
It is, really. It's a great name. Dit, what's up, Dit?
I go to a lot of dark places, but not there.
All right. Mike Milbury, great having you back on the show, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, kids, be happy.
All right, there he is, Mike Milbury, and if you miss any interview on this radio show or this radio station, you can always go back and hear it on the Odyssey app, and you should download the Odyssey app. It's AUDACY, and then you can listen to us from anywhere at any time. You can also stream this show every morning at WEEI.com, and you can ask your smart device to play 93.7 WEEI.